But this time, I'd like to invite my good friend, Pastor Zach, to come forward here as he's making his way up here. Some of you met him already. He's come and visited with our administrative board. He's actually was at our charge conference. He actually is on our staff, believe it or not. He serves three quarter times down in Crespard and Tolstoy, and the quarter time he serves here. And we do that for a couple of reasons. Number one, it really helps us to really support small local churches, community rural churches, to help them to be able to bring in a pastor. And when we brought Zach on, we talked. We were like, hey, what do you want me to really work on here? And I said, I want you to work on the Dirt Roads Network, which you're going to hear about here in a little bit. I just love his passion, love his character, love his love for the Lord and how he just wants to make Jesus known. And so he's been on staff here. He's been a great addition to our team. You don't get to see him very much on Sunday mornings because he's preaching down there in Crespard and Tolstoy. But Mike's covering for him today, so we get to have him here today. So would you just welcome Pastor Zach with us here this morning? Appreciate it, brother. All right.
Well, good morning. If you brought your Bibles, which I hope you did, turn to Acts chapter 2. We're going to be there and then stick your thumb in it because we'll get to it in a moment. I always encourage you to bring the Bible that you read from, do your devos from, etc. I'll be preaching today from the New Living Translation, because that's what Jesus taught from. it's just a joke. I will make small jokes, and if you don't laugh, I will wait. but again, yeah, turn there, Acts 2, keep your thumb in it. My name is Zach, and I want to introduce myself first, so you hopefully can get understanding of my calling and my passion. To do that, I'm going to give you some of my background, who I am, what I do, why I do it, etc. But before that, I just want to say I'm very thankful to be here today, and I'm very thankful that, that we can join together in worship. I'll give you my credentials, and then in a moment, some more of my background, but I'm Zach. I believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I believe that the Bible is God's Word. It's inspired and authoritative, And I am married to a wonderful Christ follower, Jessica, and we have three children, Cyrus, Etta, and Jameson. So we're blessed with those three kids. Two of them are half feral. You can try to decide which two. And they're sitting in the balcony today, and so if the youngest one leaps from the balcony, I think you'll understand at least which one of them might be feral. you're in the danger zone over here, by the way. I have a Bachelor's of Art in Pastoral Ministry and Biblical Studies from Oklahoma Wesleyan University, so I did my 4 years undergrad to be a pastor. I did my Kairos University Master's of Divinity, at Kairos University in Sioux Falls, and I have a Master's of Divinity with an emphasis in rural missiology, and I'm currently serving two Global Methodist churches, Crespard and Tolstoy. Crespard in a community of 85 people. Tolstoy, it's a community of about 35 people. Not the churches, the communities, 85 and 35. Previous to that, I was serving in Weston Springs for 7 years. Weston Springs is a community of about 700 to 750 people. And I'm here today to talk to you about rural ministry, the mission field of rural America, why vibrant rural churches matter, but above that church, what does it mean to be a missionary sent out to share the gospel? To share all of that with you, I want to tell you first about where I grew up. I grew up in a rural area of Kansas. I'm originally from Kansas. My wife's from Sioux Falls, so naturally we met in Oklahoma. but I'm from a rural area in Kansas. My parents, they farm and ranch there. They're still on the farm. We go down a couple of times a year. I think it's important that my kids meet the beef that they eat. So I go down as often as possible. I feel like that laugh was a little forced, so, you know, like, you got to really try here. I attended church in the town of Lamont, Kansas. That's the church that I grew up going to. Lamont is a whopping 28 people. 28 people in the town, 30 people in the church when I was a kid. So over 100% of the town's population, technically, went to the church. So Derek, you got its goals, you know. And I grew up going to church there. It is not a suburb of anything big. Lamont, if you go 7 miles one direction, you get Madison, which is a town of 650. If you go 7 miles in the other direction, you've got Gridley, which is a town of 300. If you go 10 miles south, you got Virgil, which has 30 people. And if you go 10 miles north, is nothing. It's just fields. So it's not like I grew up in the middle of some large area that had a lot of people. Greenwood County was actually one of the poorest counties in the state. And I grew up going to church at this small country church. And to put that into perspective, my graduating class from high school, 13 people. 13 people in my graduating class. Now, when I was in grade school, going to church here at Lamont, the pastor that was there, he passed away. He was in his 90s. He was the pastor that had originally planted that church way back in the day. He went and planted other churches, and he was eventually the district superintendent of the Kansas district for the Wesleyan Church. But after he died, the then district superintendent came to a church board meeting to talk about closing down the church. Your pastor died. We probably won't be able to get another one to move to this town. There's only 30 of you. We need to talk about shutting down the church. And the matriarch of our congregation, Bonnie Ott, she doesn't give herself that title, we do, but the matriarch, Bonnie Ott, she looked at that district superintendent. She's an amazing woman of God, and she said, "We have been faithful to our pastor as he aged. You need to be faithful to us." Now, there's a lot of things she could have said after that. She could have said, "There's a lot of us here that want to be buried in this church." She could have said, "You know, we still have money in the bank, so we can keep going for another couple years." But the legend is, because a legend is it's not myth, legend is a historical story that has truths communicated to the next generations. The legend story is that Bonnie said, "We've been faithful to our pastor, you need to be faithful to us. There are hundreds of people in our area that do not know Jesus, and we deserve a chance to reach them." The purpose of the church is not to have our doors open in case people want to come. The purpose of the church is not to have good feeding programs, because lots of places can do feeding programs. The purpose of the church isn't to simply be here. The purpose of the church is to share the gospel, because there are hundreds and thousands of people in our area that do not know Jesus, and they will spend eternity somewhere. Where will that be? That church that I grew up going to, they began to see themselves as missionaries sent out into their community. Soon that church grew from those 30 people to about 80 people. And they knew that if we had a pastor, it would just kind of help fuel things on. And so they started looking for a pastor, and they realized we cannot pay a pastor very much money, but what we can do is at least provide a place to live. So they built a house in the town of Lamont, the first house that had been built in like 3 decades. And they said, "We at least got a place for you to live, and we can pay a little bit of money." And a pastor felt called by the Holy Spirit to come there and serve. And by the time that I graduated high school, this was in grade school. The pastor came when I was in middle school. When I graduated high school, we went from those 80 people to, in 4 years, 350 people. We had built a new church building. Their average attendance was about 250. And it continued to grow after I left. Again, this isn't a large metro area. 650 people one direction, 300 another, 30 another. There's just people around. And it's not like there was a lack of churches. The town of Madison had 7 churches for those 650 people. But because the Spirit was present, the gospel was being shared, lives were being transformed, there were people driving from over an hour away to come to church there. And at one point, during a time of prayer and worship, the pastor and then more people started to feel, you know, why are people driving from an hour and a half away to worship here? God is everywhere, isn't he? And so they went from a church of 450 to a church that then planted 3 churches, and they started worshiping 150. Because every church, every community should be sharing the gospel. Church family, my friends, I'm here this morning to talk to you about why vibrant churches matter and why our rural churches matter, because they too can be vibrant. I grew up in one. That church that has since planted 3 other churches has also raised up 4 ordained pastors, of which I am one. Growing up, going to that church, it's part of my spiritual DNA to see rural church revitalization. It's part of my spiritual DNA to see rural churches planted. It's something that I have pursued in my education. It's something that I've lived out in my life. It is something that I'm now living out in my calling to ministry. The gospel needs to be shared in every community, no matter the size. No matter the size of the church, no matter how many people are in the area, they deserve to have the gospel shared because people are hanging in the balance. That's a little bit about my background. I'll tell you more about my calling. To do that, I want to introduce you to our organization that I work with called Dirt Roads Network. Dirt Roads Network is an independent 501c3. It means it's a charity. We work within the Wesleyan Methodist denominational branches. So we work with Wesleyan churches, Nazarene churches, independent Methodists, and now through me, the Global Methodist Church here in the upper Midwest. At Dirt Roads Network, we have three core values. We value having a mission mindset. Rural America is a mission field. Pastors and congregations both need to see themselves as missionaries sent into their communities. Pastors and congregations, right? So people like me and people like you, you are missionaries. We are missionaries sent into our communities, into our homes, into our workplaces to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We value discernment. Any great movement of the church happens through people being dedicated to prayer and then being obedient to following the leading of the Holy Spirit. It is one thing to give God a list of prayers and say, God, be with this person, God, do this thing. It is another thing to say, God, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in my life as it is in heaven. Too often as churches, we get together and we say, we've got this amount of money, we've got this many people, so God, here are the things that you can do, please bless it. The opposite should be happening. We should say, God, we know you have a vision. God, we know that you have a way. God, help us to be faithful. Help us to be obedient. We will lead and we know that you will provide. That if God delivers you from something, he will deliver you to something. Right, church? We are not just delivered from sin and death. We are delivered to abundant life. Too often, we say, God, here's what you can do. When we should be saying, God, what will you do through us? And then third, church, we value rivers and not lakes. We think that we are meant to be raised up as missionaries and sent out into our mission field, and that will mean that at times, if you are a church that values being a river and not a lake, that means that you are going to send people from your congregation to go do things. Like taking a church of 450 and planting three other churches, and now all of a sudden, everyone's going, well, where's everybody at? Well, they're over in that community, and they've planted a church, and it's thriving. We're going to pray for them. We're going to support them. We're going to help it happen. We're sending them to this community. We're sending them to this community. Why? The goal isn't to gather everyone in one place and keep us here. The goal is to see people raised up and sent out to share the gospel. A successful church is not judged by the number of people gathered, but instead by our obedience to Christ as we actively share the gospel and see souls saved from the grips of hell. You are sent to be a missionary in Jesus' name to see eternity saved and lives transformed. Those values drive forward our mission. The mission of Dirt Roads Network is to see rural churches revitalized. We want to see rural churches revitalized through rural-specific training. You cannot take a program that works in a large church and dump it on a small church and say, if you just follow these steps, you will be successful. It will not work. And I can tell you that it won't work because statistics prove it will not work because too many churches have tried it. I have been to too many conferences where they're like, come learn how we do a children's program. And you sit down and they say, after you've got your 30 children volunteers together, that's my church. I got 30 people coming to church. We value different things in rural areas in different ways. Why would we take a metropolitan or urban mindset and try to impose it on a rural area? So we want to see churches revitalized through rural-specific training. We want to equip and encourage rural clergy through clergy cooperatives. We get rural clergy together for communities. We meet over Zoom calls. We go through training. We talk about things. It is not easy to be a rural pastor. And if you're married to a rural pastor, it's not easy to be the spouse of a rural pastor. We create community and camaraderie through small groups of rural pastors. We provide inspiration, encouragement, accountability. We help them see themselves as missionaries to their congregation so that they can raise up missionaries in their congregation to see communities transformed. because it is not easy being a rural pastor. Pastor Mike, Pastor Derek, Pastor Joey, they might be able to go to a place here in town. I know Aberdeen isn't huge. They can probably go somewhere and they'll be somewhat anonymous. Everywhere I go and everything I do is seen by someone in a rural area. And if you're not from there, it's really isolating and really hard. And if you're striving to be a missionary there, you're going to make people upset because there are often people that just want to have the doors open. They don't really care if someone comes through it. So we want to see rural pastors encouraged. We also want to see rural churches planting rural churches. Churches like Aldersgate, churches like Cornerstone, churches like Tolstoy. We want to see them planting rural churches. And those churches that I just named, Church of 600, Church whatever Watertown runs, Church of Tolstoy, you know, 15 people. We want to see, no matter the church size, you helping plant a rural church. Because the best people to plant rural churches are rural people who understand what it means to be a rural church. Now those missions, that mission and those values, those are great, but you need to understand the why behind it. And the why, church, is because every community needs a life-giving, Bible-believing, community-transforming congregation that shares the name of Jesus. Every community. And there are too many communities in our areas that have churches that simply exist, that just want to keep the doors open, and who don't really care if the gospel is actually shared. They'd rather have coffee and talk about the weather than see people saved from hell. I believe that the rural Dakotas and our upper Midwest area is an area of need. It is a mission field, and it is filled with lost, hurting people who need the gospel, who need to know that they matter, who need to know that they have purpose. Because a Bible-believing church means that we believe that every person has purpose, that you were knit together in your mother's womb, that God knows the days that you will face, that he has given you gifts and abilities to face those days. Ephesians, it says that you have been saved for a reason, to do the good works that God saved you to do. A Bible-believing church means that every person matters. That means the people in our rural areas too. Now, you've been going through a series on the New Testament book of Acts. And Pastor Derek last week taught from Acts chapter 2, ending with verse 41. Before I even get to this, just for one moment, I do want to say that when I talk about us all being missionaries and sent out to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, like, that's not my idea, right? You've been going through the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth, right? And he's not talking just to the apostles. He is talking to the believers that are gathered there. You will be my witnesses. That's not my command. That is Jesus saying that you will be his witnesses. You will be the people that share the gospel. That word, I'm going off script. Sorry, Derek. What time do we end? 12:30, right? 12:30? Yeah. The Super Bowl isn't till later. Like, it's fine. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will be my witnesses. The word for witness in the Greek is martuos, which means martyr. The very word that we have for martyr, someone who is willing to die for a cause, comes from Jesus saying, you will be my witnesses. And we come to church and we sing about, oh God, how great you are, God, the things that you can do. But today, one of the songs that we sang, let me pull this up really quick. It's praise because you're sovereign. It's praise because you reign. Praise because you rose and defeated the grave. What does it mean that God is sovereign? It means that he is in control. So if God says, you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth, which the ends of the earth, Crespard, Tolstoy, Aberdeen, like, right? You will be my witnesses. Are you witnessing for the gospel of Jesus Christ, or are you witnessing for yourself? Because we all share something every day, don't we? Every day that we're given, we are either moving toward God or away. We are either sharing the gospel or we're sharing ourselves. And hopefully, if you are sharing yourself, it is the gospel. God, we want to praise you because you're sovereign. He is sovereign when he says, you will be my witnesses. So back to what Pastor Derek just preached. He preached boldly about how people are to be saved, right? And so he talked about Peter being indwelled with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit was poured out on those believers in the upper room. They went out, that they shared the gospel, that people thought they were drunk because they were sharing the gospel in different languages. And it ended with Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized, and they were added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. So they were baptized, and they said, all right, we're good to go. See you at Christmas and Easter, right? Well, they were baptized, about 3,000 in all. And that's not where it ends. They don't just get a ticket to heaven and they're good to go. It continues, thankfully, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Then all the believers devoted themselves, not just the pastors, not just the church council, not just those that go to small groups, all the believers. All of us are to do this. All believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the sharing of the meal, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And a deep sense of awe came over them all. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. In verse 44, it says, and all the believers met together in one place. They threw $20 in the plate, and they said, all right, Pastor, do your job. Wait, no, sorry, that's the wrong Bible. It says they all gathered in one place. They shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions. They shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. And then when it was noon, they went home and they said, we'll see you next week. Wait, it says they met in homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity. That sharing of the meals, they were inviting other people into their homes. They opened up their homes, they invited people to their table, and they actively shared the gospel. And why do we know? How do we know that they shared the gospel? Because in verse 47, it said that they did that all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. Everyone around them was starting to learn and know about Jesus Christ. These people are opening up their homes, they're inviting me to their table, they're sharing with me the great hope that they have in this person called Jesus. And what was the result, church? And the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. It wasn't a great program. It wasn't an on-fire pastor. It wasn't that they had great facilities. How did the Lord add to their number daily? Why did the Lord add to their number daily? They were praising God as they opened their homes and they shared their meals, and they were missionaries sent out into their communities that shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. They gathered, they worshiped, and they continued to do it when they went to the market. They continued to do it when they went into their homes. They continued to do it when they went back to their hometowns. And they didn't stop because temple let out at noon and they had a game to catch. All right, Jesus, see you next week. Go Chiefs, right? I'm serious about the go Chiefs part. The Lord added to their number daily because those believers, these were missionaries who everywhere they went, they took Jesus with them and they shared the great hope that they had. Church, why is America, yes, even our rural Midwest, why is it a mission field? Because we have too many people, even the ones that come to church every Sunday morning, where all that they have done is they have put on the helmet of salvation and they said, all right, I'm good to go. Or maybe they only come a couple times a year and they say, you know what? I prayed that prayer once, right? Like I was baptized, I was confirmed, I prayed that prayer, I confessed it with my mouth, I believed it in my heart that one time, and I am good to go because I got my helmet of salvation on, and they walk out the door. My friends, how many of you would put on a hat and then go outside? I mean, one, if you have a family, hopefully they'd stop you. Two, you hopefully wouldn't get very far because someone would call the police. Because if you only had a hat on, that'd be quite a sight to see. But we don't accept that in our culture. But for some reason in our churches, it's fine to put on the helmet of salvation and then you're good to go. And you walk down Main Street, a spiritual streaker. And instead of saying something, we say, how's the weather? Come and get a cup of coffee? Some of you later today, you're going to think about that spiritual streaker, and it's going to be stuck in your head. Like, you're going to be like, oh, I don't, right? Rural America is a mission field. Our town, this town, is a mission field. And our congregations, no matter their size or their location, they must understand how important they are to the kingdom of God. They must understand it. And I believe that the missionary zeal, which once planted a Methodist church in every county in the United States, back before they added Alaska and Hawaii, we had a Methodist church in every county in the United States. That the pioneering spirit of the Methodist movement, it is being rekindled because once again, people are sharing the gospel. Once again, people are being filled with the Holy Spirit. Once again, we are going into our churches and out of our churches to share the gospel of Jesus Christ because we know that eternity matters more than feeling uncomfortable for a moment. Our rural churches and our rural communities, they need that holy fire too. It's not just for big churches with well-paid pastors. It's for our small towns. It's for our congregations of 15 and 20 people. So my friends, the only real question that I have for you today is, will you be a part of it? Will you be a part of that holy fire sweeping through that is changing people's lives and transforming their eternities? Will you be a part of it? Now, yes, you can give toward me doing things with Dirt Roads Network. And I hope that if the Lord lays it on your heart and you're compelled by the Holy Spirit, that you do so, that you reach out and give financially. I'm interim where I'm at now because I'm seeking to go full-time, sharing the gospel, sharing things with rural churches, equipping rural pastors, and seeing communities transformed. I'm seeking a big God ask of 2 years, $200,000 to fund that so that it can become self-sustaining. My wife, thankfully, is with me, supporting me and encouraging me, but she also doesn't let me just sit around. She says, well, if that's the goal, you got to get out there. I grew up in a rural area. It's not easy to ask for money, right? If you ask to borrow a trailer, you return it when it's clean and you've re-greased the axle. But God has laid it on my heart to see our rural churches vibrant once again, because at one point, it was the laity, the congregation, who were planting churches all across the American Midwest, and pastors had to come along behind to try to catch up. I want to see that happen once again. So, church, beyond asking, will you support me in doing this, I'm asking you, will you be a part of it? Because you too are missionaries. Will you pray for our rural churches? Will you pray for your neighbors? And when the Holy Spirit prompts you, will you be faithful to reach out to them to share the gospel? How will the Holy Spirit lead this church? Because it is. How will it, and will you be faithful to follow? Now, I share with you this idea about how churches should be rivers and not lakes. I do want to remind you that that's not the first time you're hearing it. On November 19th, you can go back and listen online, Pastor Derek preached an anointed sermon where he said that yes, lakes are beautiful, but rivers are powerful. And church, it is time for us to be a river and not a lake. My friends, whether you're in a congregation of 10 or 1,000, whether you're in a county that has a population of 50,000, or a place that has less than 2 people per square mile, that's where I'm at, technically, it's the frontier. That's how they classify it. I'm beyond rural now, right? I'm a frontier pastor. No matter the size of congregation, no matter the place you find yourself in, our mission is the same, and that is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and make disciples. Church, do you understand that you are saved, you are empowered, and that you are called to be a missionary? Because Jesus says, "You will be my witnesses." And do you trust that the impact that God can have through you is greater than anything you could ever ask or imagine? And my friends, the impact that our churches can have here in the Upper Midwest, it is powerful. Our global Methodist churches are not in the middle of nowhere. These rural churches, including you, are in the middle of everywhere in the Upper Midwest. Can you imagine what vibrant, spirit-filled churches like this can do to our Upper Midwest area and across the nation? My friends, we have the potential to see lives transformed and eternities changed in the name of Jesus. And my only question today, my only question that I hope the Holy Spirit is impressing on your heart right now is, will you be a part of it? Are you willing to be uncomfortable? Are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to say, God, you are sovereign in my life? Jesus is calling. Will you be faithful to follow? In Matthew 9:38, Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." Church, may we be so bold to pray that prayer. But may we also be so bold to say, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." If you'll pray with me. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for who you are. I thank you that you sent Jesus for us, that you saw us sin-sick and lost. And you didn't say, "You know what, you guys figure it out. Do it on your own." Instead, God, you sent your one and only Son. That he came, that he taught us about who you are, God. That he showed us his wonders and his glory. That he lived a sinless life, even though tempted. And Father, even being sinless, he went to the cross and he died for our sake. But we thank you, God, that he rose again, and that resurrection is where we place our hope. We thank you, God, that we can be saved from sin and death, but we're not just saved from something, we are saved to something, and that is to abundant life in you. Help us to not be comfortable, Lord. Help us to not be comfortable with who we are or where we're at. Instead, God, help us to remember that we are sent. That our goal isn't the worldly comforts. Our goal, Lord, is your presence in our lives. The leading of your Holy Spirit, Father. And Father, for those people right now that maybe you put somebody on their mind that you know that you have put them in their lives to reach out to. Father, for those people that are coming to mind, help us to be faithful to reach out to them. For those ways, Lord, that we've been selfish and you're revealing to us things that we need to give up, help us to be faithful to do it. God, for those in this room right now that maybe they're feeling like, maybe that is me that goes back to my hometown or my home church to share the gospel, may they be faithful to be sent. God, help us to be obedient. We know that you are moving. Again, God, we thank you for our Savior Jesus. It's in his holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. What a great reminder for all of us, right? Yeah, we can give him a round of applause. Appreciate it, brother. I told you, I love his passion, I love his love for the Lord, he wants to make Jesus known. And it is a great reminder for us that we can come alongside and we can support and be able to do so in ways and to trust God to open up opportunities for us to magnify Christ. It's what it's all about. It's what we're here for to do. So we appreciate that encouraging word, Pastor Zach. And I want you to know, too, that if you do feel like you want to give to support this and the Dirt Roads Network, we have some boxes at the back that you can give towards that. And this is something that you're going to be hearing more of as we go forward in the future, too, as well. I know when he came up and spoke to with our administrative board, that was something that we were, as the administrative board here at the church, we were just excited because we were doing ministry and helping plant churches, and it was what we're doing out in Rapid City, and then partnering with Zach and Dirt Roads Network, and even helping out Crestpart and Tolstoy, and how we can pour into these real churches. There's a mission to be done in the time that needs to hear it. And what a great reminder that we're in the book of Acts right now. We have opportunity in front of us. Let's be the church. So friends, I want to invite you to please stand as you are able. Receive this benediction. As you leave here today, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In Christ, forever in Christ. Amen and amen.